Science fiction has come a very long way. Decades ago, most people who loved the Star Wars films or comic books didn't concern themselves with whether the science used was accurate or would ever be, even far into the future. But that attitude has changed dramatically, including with the Jurassic Park movies or Adam McKay's recent climate change film, Don't Look Up. Ed Finn is director of ASU Center for Science and the Imagination. He spoke with our co-host Steve Goldstein, and they began by talking about whether films and TV shows could become less entertaining if the science is too real.
I really see both sides of that. On the one hand, I think that, first of all, fictional representations of science are usually not real science. You know, there's a boundary level, and almost always there's a point at which the storyteller sacrifices a little bit of truth, or maybe a lot of truth, in order to tell the story. So even the movies that we really celebrate as getting people excited about science, and this is not a denigration of them, but, you know, movies like Jurassic Park or The Martian, scientists will say like, oh, you know, it's so great. It gets really people really fired up about my field, but there are a few big holes, or they really got this thing wrong. And, you know, scientists being scientists, that is troubling to them, right? That's why they're scientists. So there can be a bit of a challenge when you're having people tell stories and giving sometimes a false impression of how the scientific method really works, right? Or what the scientific challenges of a particular narrative would be. I do think that overall that is getting way better because of this broader trend that people are taking science more seriously. They're thinking about their narrative projects, the worlds that they're imagining as entertainment projects. They're also bringing all of this rigor and intellectual depth and scientific depth to them. So that's overall, I think, is getting a lot better, but that can still be a challenge when you get people all excited about something and it turns out, well, that's not really true, right? So there can be a mislabeling problem that happens. One interesting phenomenon is that you can see people get really into the weeds and get into these sort of elaborate nerd battles over, you know, continuity or where was Boba Fett at this time, you know, all these interesting debates that people have. And I think that for the most part, that's a normal and great part of fan culture. It can sometimes get a little exclusive, or it can become a way in which certain groups of people try to sort of monopolize or claim ownership over a particular story. And I think most creators see their work as, well, this is for everyone. It's not just for one particular group of people. But that can cause some interesting debates as well.
I want to ask about tone, because in particular, with Don't Look Up recently, which with Adam McKay's style of movie, they tend to be satirical. And yet there's a point at the core of them as well. And yeah, there's the political aspect of it there too. But so let me ask you about tone, satire, as it relates to something that may be more earnest from a scientific point of view. Don't Look Up is challenging in a different way.
I think what the movie does really well is point out the way in which we're all performing these different roles, and that science is not just this collective centuries-long project of trying to accumulate knowledge about the world, this objective body of work that people add to over time. Science is also something that humans do, and humans, we're always performing a role. No human is truly objective. We're always taking sides. We're always believing things, and the passion and the curiosity and sometimes the zaniness of a particular scientist, the things that make them an irrational being might also make them a great scientist, right? And there's this sort of push and pull between objectivity and individuality, idiosyncrasy. And I think the movie does a beautiful job of portraying that science is a cultural phenomenon as well as this knowledge-building enterprise. And so science has ideology and it has politics and it's performing in this world with all of these other actors who are all playing their roles too. And if you want to be successful as a science communicator, I think you need to take on some of that performative role. You need to recognize that you have to lean into that. You have to convince people. You have to meet them where they are on the cultural stage. You can't always bring them into the laboratory and show them how the world works through a microscope. Hmm.
For a long time, going to the movies was a big deal. It still is, but it was a huge deal for almost all families and whatnot. But now that there are these other options about with streaming and et cetera, how do you think that's going to affect the use of science? are there going to be more niche opportunities for people who aren't necessarily as into the science, but there are others who want to see the real science in addition to a new world being built?
I think that what we're seeing is this huge multiplication of entertainment options and meeting people where they are at all different ends of the spectrum in terms of scientific rigor and to what extent is this story really a kind of documentary or a representation of reality versus something that's more fictionalized. And you see more scientists interacting, you know, or performing, playing parts in movies or TV shows. So there's this huge range. And I think the plus of that is that there's more opportunities to connect with people who might be looking for a specific kind of thing. I think the downside is that we're not all watching the same stuff anymore. Don't Look Up was a great exception to that because apparently it was one of the most watched things on Netflix ever. It's really interesting to reflect on why that is. But for the most part, we just don't have that cultural experience anymore where everybody has seen the same, even the same movie, much less the same TV show or being aware of the same piece of news. So there's a kind of fragmentation of the way that we imagine different futures. And I think what a lot of content creators are doing is they're looking at success and they're doubling down on success, right? So you see Star Wars or Marvel or DC Comics, you know, they're making the same sorts of movies over and over again because there's a kind of comfort to that for their audiences. And they don't have to wade out into that fragmentary sea of all sorts of new stuff that, you know, may or may not tickle their fancy. So I think it's problematic that we don't have more access to that that shared conversation. It's harder to get a shared conversation going about a new scientific question or a new cultural question. You know, it still happens, I think, occasionally. I think Black Panther was another great example of a movie that managed to create this big cultural conversation and still tick the boxes of being a Marvel movie and being a science fiction movie. You know, it did the things it needed to do for the genre, but almost inconceivably, it managed to do all these other really hard things to do, like talk about racial justice in a broadly accessible way. So it does happen, but I think maybe it's getting rarer, and that's an interesting problem.
Yeah, that is Ed Finn. He is director of ASU Center for Science and the Imagination. Ed, always appreciate your time. Thanks.
This was great. Thank you so much, Steve.